Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And then we read on down in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. And I simply want to use as a subject this morning, in the ages to come. In the ages to come. Why don't you lift up your hands with me one more time and let's pray the Lord God of heaven would anoint, he would bless, he would have his way in the continuation of this service. We need his help. We need his touch here today. We need his strength and his anointing, his blessing upon this service. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I'm asking, God, that you would move and that your perfect will and your work would be done. I thank you, God, for your blessing that we have felt so far in this service. And I'm asking, God, that you would touch the hearts of people. Move upon the souls of individuals gathered in this house. We thank you for the privilege of being here today. I pray, God, that you would have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. You may think at the outset here this morning my subject to be a little strange or unusual, but I hope that you do realize that it isn't just about this world and what we're living in or the circumstances that are around us right now. But that there is a world beyond this one. And we know that each one of us have a future. We know and we speak in terms, we understand what the scripture says about life eternal in eternity in the ages to come. And that is really, truly what we are living for. Not just for what's going on here, not just for now, but we are in fact living for the ages to come. For the writer said, if we have hope only in this life, then we are above all men most miserable. Because this world is so limited in its scope and what it can offer, what it can give to us, what it can provide for us. The fact is that this world is broken. People of this world are broken. You and I are broken. without Jesus Christ. So I think that we are all interested. It's the reason why we're here this morning. We are all interested in knowing about something more. We're all interested in benefiting from something more. We are all hungry for something better. And I will just cut to the conclusion of my message this morning and say that I'm happy to report to you that there is something more. That there is something, in fact, better. There is something more sustaining. There is something more life-giving. There is something more powerful than the temporal things of this world and what it has to offer. And there's many powerful things as we read this particular passage that we could point out this morning. Paul explains that in times past, and as I read that, I realize something, and that is that every one of us in this room have a past. In times past, we walked according to the course of this world. We were on a course of destruction. We were on a trail that was leading to further despair and heartache. And suddenly, many of us, we realized that this was not the end. This was not what we really desired. This is not all that we wanted out of life. But the sad thing was is that we really didn't know how to get off of that course and off of that collision course with death. We couldn't get on track no matter how hard we tried, no matter how much we struggled, no matter how much we endeavored to. And so Paul goes on by saying, according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh. It was a struggle that the power, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, was involved with. We understand that it was a demonic struggle. Paul lists in verse 3 some areas, he says, where sin has manifest itself in our lives. He said, our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were no better than anybody else. Amen. And we're still no better than nobody else, if not for the grace of God. And it goes on to say here, but God. It adds that conjunction. He tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy, for with His great love wherewith He saved us. Amen. We know that the scripture in another place says, by His great riches, He can supply all of our needs. It says, according to His riches in glory. Amen. So we understand that He is rich in mercy. I just want to stop and say here this morning that He is a God of fathomless mercy. He is a God that is able to extend mercy, amen, even beyond what man is capable of doing. Even beyond what man is capable of forgiving. And God is able in His mercy to reach people that we don't think He's able to reach. He's able to save folks that we don't think is savable. He's able to touch the lives and transform the lives of people that we feel like are hopeless. Not only is He rich in mercy, but He talks about His great love wherewith He saved us. Aren't you thankful for that attribute of God? That God is in fact love, and that He loves us even when we didn't have sense enough to worship Him and to live for Him and to serve Him. He still loved us. I'm thankful for the love of God. Even when we were dead, as this scripture says, in sin, even when we didn't have a heart for God or desire to serve God or an appetite or hunger for the things of God, even when it looked hopeless, he hath quickened us together with Christ. And that word quicken is signaling towards the resurrection. That's a restorative word. Amen. He said, this spirit that is on the inside of us, the Holy Ghost, is going to quicken our mortal bodies when the rapture takes place. And we're going to go and be with the Lord. So what he's referring to here is the quickening power of the Spirit of God. And aren't you thankful that when you perhaps didn't have any interest in God, or desire for the things of God, or you didn't know that much about serving God or His Word, you came in the atmosphere where God was, where the presence of the Lord could be felt, and His Spirit quickened you. You felt something like you had never felt before. You experienced something like you had never experienced before. He quickened you with His powerful Spirit, and you felt something come alive. You felt a desire come alive. You felt a hunger come alive. You felt an appetite for God come alive in your heart. He quickened you together with Christ. And there's three times in this passage that I read that he uses the word together. Quickened us together in verse 5 with Christ. Verse 6, raised us up together. And then in verse number 6 also it says, made us set together in heavenly places with Christ. Three times it uses this word together. In other words, there's no big I's, a little U's. We're all seen as a body of Christ. Everybody here together. Amen. And it also tells me that if you desire to be a part of the blessings of God and the goodness of God, and you want the grace of God to be extended to you, and you want to experience what God has for you, you better come together with the church, with the body of Christ. You better come together with the people of God, because that's where God is moving. He said, I can quicken, amen, us together. Amen. I can raise people up together. I can make you to sit in heavenly places together. Amen. He is working in the church. He's quickening people. He's rebuilding and restoring the lives of people. He is making, he is creating things in the hearts of people. Amen. Together he's moving among us. That's why I want to stay connected to the church. That's why I want to stay connected to the body of Christ. Oh, clap your hands if you're thankful for the church of the living God. So why does God go to such great lengths to save us? Paul answers that question in the text that I read. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. The reason is that he has so much to reveal to you, so much to show you, so much for you that he wants you to partake of, so much that he wants you, that he's provided for you to experience. You want to know why we fight for people not to give up in their relationship with God? You want to know why we fight for folks not to walk away from God or to throw in the towel or to give up on life, period? It's because we don't want them to miss what God has for them. The exceeding riches of His grace. There's so much. You think salvation is awesome. You think being baptized in the name of the Lord is awesome. You think the power of the Holy Ghost is awesome, and it is. But there's even more as you walk with God and He reveals things to you. There's exceeding riches of His grace that He wants to reveal in ages to come as you walk with Him, not only in this life, amen, but the Bible says really this is just the earnest of our inheritance. This is just a little bit of what heaven is going to be like, as glorious as the Holy Ghost is, and as wonderful as it is to have our sins washed away in the waters of baptism. Amen. That's just a little touch of what it's going to be like when we get on the other side and we're able to experience all the splendors of heaven and be with the Lord throughout all of eternity. He said there's exceeding riches of grace that I want to reveal to you in ages to come. That's how great my God is. That's how powerful my God is. That's how wonderful my God is. This doesn't wear off. It only gets better. It only gets greater. It only gets more awesome as time goes by. Amen. Truly, truly, it's a fact. When you hear the testimony of saints of God that have lived for the Lord for years and years, and they make the statement, they make the testimony and proclaim that it just gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I'm going to tell you that's exactly how it is in living for God. It gets better. It gets better with each day. It gets better with each week and each month, and we go from glory to glory and faith to faith, and we're building on the last church service, and we're building on the last time that we come and we gathered in God's presence and God ministered to us and moved upon us. The great thing about our God is that He doesn't stop in His ability to bless. Whatever blessing that you've received up until this point, He has greater things for you. He has more wonderful things to give to you. Whatever He has revealed and you've seen in His Word, or you have experienced through the power of His Spirit, whatever revelation that you've received from God, can I tell you that there is more for you? God wants to reveal greater things. God wants to show greater things. Amen. There's more in the ages to come. Amen. God has greater blessing. God has greater revival. There's more prayers that He wants to answer. There's more lives that He wants to restore. There's greater things that He wants to do in your life. Don't give up now. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up the fight. Don't surrender to your own feelings. Amen. But realize there's greater things that God wants to do in my life if I'll just hold on. If I'll keep the faith, there's greater things that He wants to do. I have to believe that. I have that hope this morning. I feel that touch, amen, in this place that God wants to help somebody in this house. So I'm going to flesh it out just a little further. There's two biblical concepts concerning time that you need to understand I want to talk about today. First of all, you see in the Word of God all the way back in the book of Genesis, this concept called the process of time. You'll see it referred to, and I'm not going to refer to all the instances in the Scripture where it talks about the process of time or in the process of time. We do know that it's there. Many times the process of time is difficult for us to really understand what God is doing, because if you just take a snapshot of the process, it doesn't look like the final picture or the completion of things. I remember exercising in our neighborhood. There's some new houses that were going up. And I remember running by one of them day after day and seeing that they built the foundation and they begin the work of building this house. And I can tell you, not being a person that knows construction very well, that seeing that in the various phases of the process of time, it didn't look anything like. I would have never guessed the potential that was there. I would never have thought that it would have been a could have ever been a beautiful home as it is today. Matter of fact, there are sometimes it looked like complete chaos. As I've seen boards that were running in directions, and what it was they were bracing up walls, and those braces would eventually be taken out, and maybe there was supplies that was piled around and scrap lumber that maybe a board was cut and the part of it that was left for scrap was piled up. And I didn't understand how all of this was going to work together. If I would have just taken a picture of various phases of the process, I never would have gotten a real view of what the final product was going to be. And had they for some reason stopped, there was one particular home in our neighborhood, for whatever reason the builders stopped. I think it was because of the crash in the economy in 2008, and they stopped. After they had framed it up so far, they stopped. And for months, I think even years, it sat there. And the weather began to have an effect on the boards. And I thought to myself, because they stopped in the middle of the process, a lot of the things that have been done up until this point are probably going to have to be ripped out and destroyed or replaced because somebody stopped in the process of what was going on. I'm going to tell you, the process is not a perfect picture of what it's going to be like if you just hold on and you just keep the faith and you keep walking with God. Oh, let me help somebody here today. On vacation, we were walking in a little village town, and I walked into a little art shop, and there was an artist that was there in the studio, and he had a canvas out before him, and he was painting. And I saw many of the beautiful paintings in the gallery that was around him that had his name on them. But as I looked at the painting that he was currently working on, I could not see the beauty that I saw in the finished product. In fact, I thought, how in the world does this end up looking like or being the same quality of work as the rest of these that are hanging around him? But as I watched, little and by little, he began to add to. And he said, well, here after a little while, I have to stop because this is as far as I can go with this phase. And I'll have to let this dry and we'll come back for the next session tomorrow and add a little bit more and add a little bit more. I'm going to tell you, that's in many ways the way it is living for God. Amen. He's adding to us, and you couldn't handle it all at once. But God, if you'll just walk with him and you'll be faithful to him and if you'll trust him, he'll add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge and to your knowledge patience and on and on. And he'll build you up in the perfect man and woman that you need to be in God. But you got to hold on through the process of time. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, chapter number 2 and verse 23, Israel had came to Egypt because of Joseph being sold to the Egyptians and him making, by the blessings of God, his way up through the ranks to become the prime minister by all intents and purposes of the land. And he brought his father and his brothers to this place, and they began to multiply, and God began to bless them. But the Bible said in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And they began to cry out to the Lord. I'm certain that they wondered, why is it all the sudden things have become so rocky? We were blessed in this land. God used this land to supply our needs and sustain us in a very difficult famine. And now it seems like we're no longer comfortable in this place. And it happened in the process of time. There's things that take place in our lives that we don't comprehend them at the time because we don't see the full picture. We don't understand why it is that we face this at this particular time because we don't see the fullness of time and what God is doing in our lives. And that's the second concept of time that you must understand, and that is the fullness of time or the complete work or the finished product. of when the process of time has come to its conclusion, God is revealing, this is what I wanted to do all along. This is what I had in mind all along. You didn't understand it at the particular time that you were facing it. And while you were going through it, you questioned why it was happening. But this is what I had in mind, the fullness of time. And if you're not careful, you'll question the process. Why? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? Has anybody ever been there? Come on, let's be honest this morning. I'm not really asking for a show of hands, but let's just be honest in our heart. I've been there. I'm the preacher today, and I've been there. Why is this happening like this? I've heard people say, well, I don't understand. I've lived for God. I've served God. I've done everything I know to please God, and still these things are happening in my life, and I don't understand it. And we know what the book of Romans 8 and verse 28 says. And we know that all things work together for the good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. All things. Do we really believe that? Do you really believe that all things work together for the good? Those that are walking with God and serving God and doing their best to please God, and something out of nowhere happens that you don't know how to explain or you can't comprehend, it's hard to get your mind around. You know, my grandmother, she was a wonderful cook. And she, I guess her specialty was, I don't know if it's just because I like them, but I felt like her specialty was desserts. I mean, there was always plenty of desserts to go around, pies, cakes. And she had these homemade cinnamon rolls. Man, if I could just get one of them homemade cinnamon rolls. And your grandma must make a cinnamon roll by the hums and the stomach's growling and all of that. But you know, man, it was just so awesome. Anything she made, as far as cake or pie or anything, I mean, it's just awesome. And so one day I walked in. They lived next door to us for much of my life, and I was just a little boy. And I walked in, and she had all of the ingredients out there making these desserts. She had vanilla extract. She had raw eggs out in a bowl there. And she was going to mix all this stuff up, and she had flour out there on the counter. She had a sheet that she always rolled out and put that flour on top of it to make that homemade dough and crust and all that kind of stuff. And then she had all these other ingredients there. And I thought to myself, you know what? If the finished product tastes as awesome as it does, surely every one of these ingredients, I've got to taste pretty good too. So I said, I'm going to try it out. I was barely able to reach up there. I put my finger in that vanilla extract, put it to my tongue. It wasn't nearly as awesome as I thought it should have been. Matter of fact, it was kind of bitter. It didn't set well with my taste buds. I reached over and I got some of that flour with the wet end of my index finger and I put it to my mouth. I thought, man, that stuff's gritty. It doesn't taste very good. So I surmised pretty quickly that it wasn't any one of these ingredients by themselves that was good. It was the mixture of them all. And then they had to be placed in a furnace, or they had to be placed in an oven and be heated up. And through that process, the process of time, there was a certain amount of time that you had to leave it in the furnace. And after all of that was done, it was then that the finished product was something that was appetizing and something that was wonderful and something that I knew to be awesome. I'm going to tell you, you can take anything in your life and you can look at it and say, well, why is it that this is happening like it is? It's all these things together that constitute the goodness of God and the blessings of God. And if we're walking with Him, He knows what we need. I said He knows what we need. We may not realize it, but there's things that He allows in our lives that turns our attention towards Him. And it's then when we learn how to pray. It's then that we learn how to exercise faith. It's then that we learn how to walk closer to God. It's then that we begin to learn how to intercede before the Lord. And we grow up in God not because of one individual thing, but because of the mixture of things that take place in our lives. I don't know how to explain it, but every little thing, every big thing, even hurtful things, even happy things, even sad things, even glad things, when you put it all together in the grand scheme of God's plan, it works for your good. You don't understand. Even the crisis, even the problem, even the sickness, even the pain, even the hurt, even the betrayal, even the rejection, even the abandonment, because each of these things, God mixes in a little bit of His grace. And God mixes in a little dash of His peace. And He takes a little pinch of His joy and puts it in there. And a little bit of comfort and a little bit of mercy. And He adds to it a little bit of hope. And we get to experience what it is to exercise faith in the midst of all of this. And we didn't see it, but God is mixing all of this together. And God's making a finished product that we could call awesome, that we could call great. I'm going to tell you, you could sit back in bewilderment and say, why is this happening? And why is this taking place? Or you could say, God, I'm not going to give up in the process because you've got hope. You've got joy. You've got grace that you want to reveal to me. And in the ages to come, I'm going to see where you've been working all along. In the ages to come, I'm going to have a testimony. I thank God that I didn't quit. I thank God that I didn't give up. I thank God that I didn't throw in the towel. I thank God that I didn't surrender. Don't lose sight of the fullness of time. Because the process will produce the desired outcome. James 1 and 4 says, but let, everybody say let. That means to allow. That means you've got to yield. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What does that mean? That means complete, lacking in no spiritual area. Jesus said, in your patience possess ye your soul. Trust the process, because God is working. If you're not patient with the process, you'll miss what God has in store for you in ages to come. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, but we glory. This always seemed like an unusual passage of Scripture to me. We glory in tribulation. I used to think, not me, Apostle Paul. I hadn't got there. We glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. We all want that finished product. We all want that finished product of hope. But you got to have the experience of going through a situation where you had to trust God and be patient, that God knows what's going on and I can trust Him and lean upon Him that He's going to take care of me. We all desire a hopeful end and a finished product that we can be so thankful for and proud of. But we don't understand what it is to trust the process sometimes. But you got to understand, we're not living for right now alone. We're not living just for the present. We're living understanding that this is for the ages to come. I want to have an eternal perspective about things. Amen? I like roller coasters, I'll admit it. I'm almost 46 years old, but I still like roller coasters. In fact, I can't get my little girl to ride them with me. And so I have to sometimes, or most of the time, ride them by myself. And so those roller coasters are something, man. You get on a roller coaster. I know this is making me look pretty juvenile, but nevertheless, you know, you click, 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 the suspense of that. Get up there at the top, and you can see all the way from Branson all the way back to Texarkana. And then that sudden fallout. And then things really hasten, and it's a lot of ups and downs, and twists and turns, unexpected dips. Sometimes I have to close my eyes. Sometimes, I'll admit it, I lift my voice and I cry out. Sometimes I even raise my hands. And sometimes I just have to hold on to the bar in front of me. But you know what I've never been tempted to do is to get off in the middle. I've never once been tempted to say, hey, if I could crawl out of this thing right now, four stories in the air, I'd get off of it. I've never been tempted to do that because I realize this thing at one point or another, it's going to come to an end. I may have to hold on to the bar that's in front of me and hope for the end. Amen. I may cry out. I may lift my hands and surrender to God and wonder why and what in the world's going on. But if I just stick with this thing, if I keep riding this thing out, I know it's going to come to an end. I know there's going to be victory. I know there's going to be triumph. I know God is going to bring me through. Don't get off in the middle somewhere, but stick with the process, because in the fullness of time, there's going to be shouting. In the fullness of time, there's going to be rejoicing. In the fullness of time, you're going to have triumph, knowing that God has given you the victory. Come on, let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. In fact, why don't you just stand to your feet with me? I feel like I'm through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, coincides with what I'm talking about. The writer is always talking about things that are to come. Talking about better things, improvement. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of doctrine of baptism, laying on hands, and of resurrection of the dead. He's not saying these things are not important. He's just saying, hey, let's establish that and let's go on to something more that God wants to reveal. In eternal judgment, this we will do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and having tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. It's impossible for them once they've experienced it, once they've felt it, once they've had a hold of it, to ever be satisfied with anything else that is out there. And he says in verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work of work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, not followers of them who through faith and patience inherit, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If you'll just be patient, there's some promises, some things that God wants to do in the process of time. He's going to reveal some things to you. And when you get to the end, you're going to see the beautiful picture that God has created for your life. Paul, Romans 8 and 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Whatever I'm going through, it doesn't compare to what's going to be on the other side. The victory, the goodness of God, the testimony that He helped me. Amen. In the ages to come. I want to relate this story as best I remember it. Many of you remember Brother Parker who came here and preached. It's been a few years ago now, but Brother Parker has a testimony. He was raised as a boy in church, but his father and mother divorced and had a traumatic effect on him, and he went to live with his father. He was the only one out of, I think, five siblings that went to live with his father. His father was in a backslidden condition, away from God, didn't have any desire to serve the Lord. Basically let him go and let him do whatever he wanted to do, and it wasn't long until he got involved in drugs. And up through the ranks of all of that, he was actually, because he lived in Southern California, he was transporting drugs from Mexico into the United States, into the Los Angeles area. He actually supplied drugs for many of the celebrities of that day. And as he tells the story, when he had his reckoning, his moment when he realized, I got to change. This isn't what God has for me. He said, I had a little girl at the time. She was 4, maybe 5 years old. He said, and I was watching her in the kitchen. And she took the salt shaker and she poured out some of the salt on the table there. And she was moving that salt around like a person does cocaine or narcotics. And he said, when I saw that, he said, it broke my heart to realize this was what I was teaching my 4-year-old daughter. And he said, I was shaken to my core, and I began at that moment to realize I got to do something to change my life. And so he began to make his way back to God, and it wasn't without some points of discouragement and disappointments. And matter of fact, there was times that Brother Terry was actually his uncle, and Brother Terry was a very straightforward guy, very successful pastor, pastored several hundred in the city of Bakersfield, very known church in Pentecost. But he knew what it was going to take to get a hold of Jesse Parker. And he said, man, he would just get all over me. And he said, there was times, he said, this is before my ministry started. Before anything got going, he said, there was times I just told my wife, I told you it wasn't going to work. That's why I didn't come back earlier, is because I knew I just couldn't do it. I knew I could never please him. I knew I could never do this. I knew I could never do that. He said, but then I'd get the mental image of that daughter sitting there at the kitchen table. And he said, I made up my mind, and for no other reason, I was going to plow on in my relationship with God. And I was going to hold on, and I was going to live for God, and I was going to continue to serve the Lord. I was going to swallow my pride if necessary. I was going to absorb whatever I had to absorb, because I had a daughter that was looking at me and following my example. And so I had to hold on. I had to hold on. And now that daughter, he pastors in Oregon. He's pastored there for 30-something years. And that daughter is a part of his church. And he told me, it's been a few years ago now, he said, you know, there was a time in my life when discouragement came. He said, I would hold on because, if for no other reason, my family. I made up my mind I'm not quitting because of my family. And now he's seeing his children being used of God, and some of them coming to the Lord that had been away from God. and been backslidden. Amen. They're coming back to God. And he's seeing God fulfill that promise. I'm going to tell you, in the ages to come, things is going to make better sense than what they make to you right now. In the ages to come, when you make it to heaven, you're going to look back and say, you know what? I'm glad I held on. I'm glad I kept the faith. I'm glad I fought through the struggle. I'm glad I didn't quit. I'm glad I didn't give up. In the ages to come, you're going to be thankful that you planted your feet and poured concrete around them and said, hey, I'm not going to let discouragement and despondency, and I'm not going to let things that the devil tries to put in my mind. Amen. I'm not going to let what anybody else says keep me from living for God. I'm going to serve the Lord. For the ages to come, God's going to reveal things to me. I wonder if there's somebody who'd like to pray this morning. I wonder if there's somebody who'd like to reach out to the Lord this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Let's take a moment here and pray that God would move. Would you help me by lifting up your voice right now? Come on, saint of God. You know how to pray. You know how to talk to the Lord. Why don't you lift up your voice to Him? Amen. It'd be good everybody find a place down around this front to pray and to seek the face of God. If you can't kneel, then stand and lift up your hands. Whatever you feel to do, I'm just asking you, would you please respond to the Lord? Would you please open up your heart to God? God's wanting to move. God's wanting to work. God's wanting to speak to us. God's wanting to talk to us today. Amen. It may not all make sense right now, but in the ages to come, oh, yes, in the ages to come. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. God in His mercy, God in His grace is going to be revealed to us all. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I love you, God. I give praise to you, my Savior. I honor you, my Lord. Come on, let's take time to pray. Let's take time to seek after the Lord. Let's take time to open up our hearts to Him. Yield ourselves completely to Him. Surrender everything to Him. Oh, yes, God, I need you, Lord. I need your help. I need your touch today. I need you, God, to minister and work and move in my life. I thank you, Jesus. Come on. Would you talk to Him? Would you pray to Him? Would you seek Him right now?